There's new data out this week from the CDC showing that less than 5.5% of Americans who've been vaccinated for COVID-19 are Black. Health experts say that number should be much higher, considering that Black Americans make up 13% of the population. Joining us now to unpack some of the reasons for the shortfall is Dr. Georges Benjamin, head of the American Public Health Association. Dr. Benjamin, welcome to Here and Now.
Peter, glad to be here.
And your group is focused on improving public health equity. So when you look at those numbers, what do they mean to you?
You know, it tells me the tragedy that we haven't learned our lesson. You know, we know that these health inequities occur. We understand why they occur generally. We saw these inequities for the testing. And we had time to fix these problems before we really got to vaccinating people. And we just haven't done it yet.
Why not?
You know, everyone's being busy and they're not focusing on the right things. I think that we've always said that it's important to address those populations most at risk. And now we need to pivot. And so my organization, like many others, are pushing very hard for us to make that pivot, because otherwise we're not going to save lives as quickly as we can.
Well, as you have just said, we have known for a while now about the inequities of this pandemic, including the fact that Black and brown Americans are far more likely to die from COVID-19. But what is behind the fact that we now know they are also far less likely to be vaccinated?
Well, you know, we do have these historical hesitancies because of mistrust of government, mistrust in many ways of the healthcare system. And we should have done a lot more to educate the public earlier in the year when we knew we were ramping up to give people vaccinations. We didn't do that. But the other part is more structural. I mean, we talk a lot about hesitancy, and hesitancy is an issue. But right now, a lot of the disparity is due to the way we've just structured access to the vaccine and how people are notified of when to get it.
I mean, it takes resources. For one, just to sign up for an appointment means you need a computer, and you also need the time, and you need to be savvy to negotiate with our pretty clunky systems so far. I mean, what about that? How much is that driving the problem?
When you only have the ability to go online and sign up, that's a problem. People ought to be able to call in and not have to wait, you know, 20 minutes to get someone to answer the phone to schedule an appointment. But I also have to tell you that if the place to go get your vaccination isn't in your community, or you have to take two buses and walk five blocks to get there, that's another problem. And again, this is not rocket science, and this is not the barriers that we have not yet known exist. We've known these barriers exist for years. So putting these vaccination centers in the community, making sure that we reach out to communities more assertively, proactively, to make sure they can get in line when it's their turn to get in line, is the way to resolve these inequities.
The Biden administration just this week said that it's going to start sending some vaccines to pharmacies. Will that help get those shots and those doses into the community, like you're saying?
It will to some degree. You know, we learned from the West Virginia experience that getting these vaccines in locally is important. But, you know, we have pharmacy deserts in our country. We have places where even a pharmacy that is given the vaccine doesn't exist in communities. So we're also going to have to take vans into communities with the vaccine. We're going to have to go into some of the churches and some of the community centers and do the vaccinations right down the street from where people live.
Another issue is that many states are not even reporting data on who exactly is getting vaccinated. So how do we know how big the problem is if the numbers aren't there, if the data is incomplete?
You know, what gets measured gets done. And you're right, we're not getting the right data. There are data lags. There are just data. People aren't filling out all the boxes. And we just have to do a better job of that. By the way, we had that same problem with the testing. Now, part of it is also because we just have this clunky, antiquated, you know, data collection system for public health. You know, we're still collecting data on fax machines and sending it around, on paper-based systems and sending it around. That's going to require money and thoughtfulness to build those systems. But in the short term, we ought to be able to go in these communities and get people vaccinated. We ought to stress the importance of collecting the data. And if there are any legal or bureaucratic barriers, we need to remove those so we can actually count correctly who's getting vaccinated by race, ethnicity, and I would add by occupation, because, you know, we have a lot of people who in certain occupations that are extraordinarily high risk. And unless we start looking at occupation as well, we're going to miss some people.
from a public health perspective, doctor, what are the consequences of an inequitable system for vaccinations? What does that mean for all of us?
It means higher morbidity and mortality, meaning more people get sick and more people will die until you get everybody vaccinated. And the problem is when you miss very, very high-risk individuals, it costs us all. It costs us time. It costs us heartache. It costs us money. And then you remove all of those wonderful people from our society who can contribute. It impacts all of us.
Dr. Georges Benjamin, Executive Director of the American Public Health Association. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.